Good morning. Praise the Lord. While we were praying downstairs, one of the songs was "Rest on Us," and I was just thinking about that truth that's in that song. But it's sometimes it sounds like it's something that we're waiting to happen in us, but it's already Holy Spirit's already came and dwelled inside of us. So what we have to do today is by faith connect with that reality, that truth, that Holy Spirit has chosen to indwell in us. And Jesus says it's better that we have Holy Spirit than even Him Himself here on earth. And so, Lord, we thank You, Lord, that we have Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we invite You to work in our lives today in such a supernatural way, Lord. We ask that You would just move beyond all we can ask or think, do beyond all we could ask or think. Lord, affect us in ways beyond we could ask or think today. Lord, we just offer ourselves up to You, Lord, as a living sacrifice, Lord. We pray that our worship, Lord, would be sweet and acceptable to You, Lord. I pray, Lord, that our hearts, Lord, be wide open, Lord, to receive, God, what You want to do in us today. Help us, Lord, to not hold back. Help us, Lord, not to shrink back, Lord, but help us to press in and press forward, Lord, into Your plans and Your purposes for our lives. For this service, Lord, help us press in, Lord, and not just do things as normal, not just do things in any kind of traditional way, Lord. Help us, Lord, to press into who You are, Lord. As the woman with the issue of blood reached out and touched the hem of Your garment, Lord, help us, Lord, to reach out today, God, and touch You, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that we're never the same. She was never the same after that moment, Lord. She was healed, delivered, set free, Lord, able to be normal again, Lord. Help us to be normal as You have created us to be normal. Not normal according to the world, but normal as You've created us to be, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Just invite Your presence right now. Holy Spirit, Holy, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill this place. Fill this place. Fill this temple.
skies, but our hearts run far to be overcome by your presence, Lord, also. 'Cause I've been told to live my own truth, do whatever makes me feel good, get rid of boundaries, the rules are stifling, chase good feelings, soon we'll be gone, but I find myself lost in heaven, slaved in bound to my desires, and that's not freedom. Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus every day, more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with your Lord, my new life might be secure. Everything I can do, that's why I honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your image. Praise be to God, a new life. Spirit, more like Jesus. Every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with your, my new life might be secure. Everything I do, done so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your image.
See if we can do that. Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. It's a cappella, like a prayer.
Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, that my new life might be secure. Everything I do, just so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify, make me into your
Holy Spirit,
make me more like Jesus. Every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, that my new life might be secure. Everything I do, just so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify, make me into your image.
Yes, Lord. Make us into your image, Jesus. Make us into your image, Holy Spirit. To the image of God. The image of God. Thank you, Lord, for working in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for working in us, Lord, and transforming us, resurrecting us, sanctifying us, purifying us. Lord, thank you for that work of the cross, Lord, that's a continuous work, Lord, that never gives up in our lives, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask you to make that real in our lives, the full work of the cross. The complete work of the cross, make it real in our lives, Lord, so that we're never the same. We're never the same. We're never the same in Jesus' name. Transform us, God. Change us, Lord. Change us, God, to be more like Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whatever obstacles, whatever barriers we've put up in our lives, the enemies set up in our lives, Lord, just destroy it, eradicate it, Lord, so that we can become more like Jesus. Whatever lies the enemy has spoken to us, Lord, whatever traps he set for us, Lord, just allow those traps to fail. And allow the lies to go so we can become more like Jesus. The world needs people more like Jesus. We need to be more like Jesus, Lord, for our families, for our workplaces, Lord, for our schools, Lord, for our friends, neighbors, God, we need to be more like Jesus so that the world can see the light of the glorious gospel shining in us as you shine bright in us, Lord. Make us more like Jesus every day, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. go hug somebody and tell them they look a little more like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Time for declarations. We're going to do for the city or for the valley. Should probably put for the valley, shouldn't we? The Yakima Valley. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to say it nice and loud, like we mean it. Declaring the will of God over our city, right? And over our valley. On three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city would have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Yakima, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this Yakima Valley, Lord, where you have placed us, Lord, for this day, Lord. And we pray, God, that you would allow us to see your hand move, Lord, in families, Lord. See your hand move, Lord, in individuals' lives, Lord. See your hand move, Lord, in situations and circumstances, Lord, where it would be beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that you were working and you were moving, Lord. Father, we pray that you would make yourself manifest, Lord, to those who don't know you, Lord, that you would open up their hearts, Lord. You would bring revelation and truth, Lord. Holy Spirit, that as you're the one that convicts the world of sin and judgment, and Lord, for righteousness, God, we pray that you would just work that out in every heart, Lord. Draw them to yourself, Lord. Father, we pray that you would allow the works of the enemy to be destroyed, and Lord, for your works to be elevated, Lord, in people's lives, Lord. Lord, we pray for a release of the Holy Spirit, Lord, into the hearts and minds and lives of individuals, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're working in Yakima, Lord, right now, that you're doing supernatural work in people's lives, just as you did in mine, Lord. I believe right now you're working in lives, Lord, and we agree with that work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so excited for today. And the reason is because Jesus is on the throne. Amen. I remember a long time ago when we were still over at the old building and Lynette and Lori were doing a lot of the worship stuff, and they had gone on this worship trip down. And I don't know, James, if you went or not, but anyway, it was down in like Texas or Arizona or someplace like that. Big place. Did you go to that? Yeah. And there was a speaker that said, if the president walked into the room, everybody, even if you didn't like him, would stand up and whoo and ah and ooh, all of that. Or if the Queen of England, at the time she was still alive, were to walk in the room, everybody would be, oh, wow, that's so cool, wow, stand up and curtsy or whatever. But Jesus is here. What are we doing? Are we honoring him? Are we glorifying him with everything we do and say? Just a side note. Sorry, I didn't mean to preach. But okay, so what we're going to do is talk about announcements. And before I begin talking about them, well, maybe I will talk now. The youth yard sale is the 20th of July. And if you have anything that you would like to donate, please call Mrs. Lopez, Nancy, sister, daughter, friend, at that number and just coordinate with her so that she can do any pickup or tell you when and where and all of that. That way we can have everything come at a timely manner and not overwhelm the downstairs basement. And so Nancy will be in charge of all of that if you guys can do that. Do I swipe it or what? Huh? Oh, thank you for giving. Thank you for giving to the house. Now, some of you might say to yourself, well, we paid off our debt. We don't, what do we need money for? Well, let me tell you, we do still have some debt that we still owe to Grace International because they helped us with a lot of the building payments, especially during COVID, that we could not make as a church. And so we do still have a balance on that loan that they loaned to us with no interest. It was interest free. So we still have that. We still need to keep the lights on. We still have, you know, things that we like to do as a church, and we would like to begin to do outreach. So please, if you are not giving to the church and you would like to, you can go to onelifefamilyworship.com and give there with the give button, or you can give at this box up here and or the box that's out in the foyer. Now, I just have to share about this box. This box was donated to us a long time ago by Brother Mike Gobb, and he put the hole in the top to make it into what I call the treasure chest. And I love that because that's actually what they used back in the day when Jesus was walking the earth. They would do the treasury. So, okay, so I'll let you close this up because I still have one more thing to talk about. So for those of you that do not know, if you're not on the prayer chain, Moses lost his younger sister on Wednesday. She passed away from cancer, and the services are being held on Tuesday of this week. Tomorrow is the viewing, and then Tuesday is service, graveside, and then a luncheon. And they have asked our church to supply desserts. So if you can and you are able, if you can make a dessert, just give me a call. Come see me if you don't have my number after church, but give me a call about where to deliver or pick up or whatever. And then if you don't have time, if you work full time, you don't have time to make something, if you would like to give toward something that we could possibly go purchase, that would be great too. So we could do whatever meets your all needs. So the service is on Tuesday. So Pastor and I definitely will be going to that. And then this way we can show our love and support of our Perez family that we love so very much. They are a praying family. And they, even though they've had some hardships come towards their way with their nephew Caleb also being diagnosed with cancer, and he's 30, has a little baby girl and wife, and you know, their whole lives have changed. We just want to show our support to this precious family that we love so much. So please be in prayer for them this week. Please lift them up. I mean, this is very difficult, and I know that all of the family would appreciate every bit of prayer that they can get right now. Amen? Amen. So now, without further ado, Pastor Eric is coming to give the word. Yeah. Pastor Eric. Good
job, son. All right. Good morning, everybody. I want to take some time this morning. This is something that's been on my heart the last few weeks, and I shared a brief word about this at our men's breakfast, or barbecue rather, two Saturdays ago. And you know, this is something, and I've been thinking about this a lot, like why this is not talked about more, and this isn't like, this isn't me harping on our church per se. I feel like the church as a whole, we've kind of strayed away from talking about this. But back in when I got saved in 2005, or I think it was 2005, our church at that time was heavy into talking about the secret place, and the secret place is vital, I believe, in our walk with Jesus. And it's more than just going to church. It's more than just attending the conference. It's more than just doing the normal Christian things. The secret place is our intimate time, our intentional intimate time we take away with the Lord. And you know, if you think about your closest relationship, whether it be your spouse or friends or whatever, like you have time with those people, I'll use the word intimate, in that there's a closeness, there's things shared, there's things that if for the closest person in your life, you only will experience those things with that person. And in a lot of ways, with the Lord, that is how we need to approach Him, is having these intentional, intimate times. So the secret place, this is how I kind of defined the secret place, is the place you have created on purpose, to cultivate a quiet and intentional time to talk with God, also known as praying. But the emphasis is on the on purpose. It's not just like, oh yeah, cool, like I'm gonna go in this space and do this. But it's actually creating this space, I don't garden, but I like what gardens look like. I like when people have gardens. I like when people have, you know, whether it be, I went to a friend's house recently, and like 2 years ago when I went to his house, his backyard was a mess. Like, and he was embarrassed by it, and I was embarrassed for him. But I went there the other day, and I mean, he has grass. He got these apple crates, and he, like, four of them, and in each of them he's planted vegetables and fruit, and he has like apple trees. Like he's doing this whole thing. But what he's done is he's created this intentional space in his backyard. And so the secret place, let me read it one more time. The place you have created on purpose to cultivate a quiet and intentional time to talk with God, the place where you know He dwells. Now we can easily say, well, we know He dwells everywhere. God dwells everywhere. We can come into church and He dwells, or we can go outside and He dwells, or we can go wherever He dwells. We know this. Also, there is something about a specific space that you create where you just step into His presence more easily, right? You step into His presence, and you just know that I'm going to meet with God in this place. And there's just something special about that spot or place that helps you get there, helps you feel something. And now it's not always about a feeling, I understand that, but it helps you feel something. Psalm 91, 1 and 2, or yeah, 1 and 2 says this, says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." I just want to take a second and pray. So, Lord, we just thank You so much for who You are. God, I thank You for Your intentionality with us. And God, I just pray that we would begin to, all of us, cultivate this special time with You, God. Lord, whether we're already doing it, let us do it more. Whether we need help doing it, let us figure this out, Lord, of creating this space with You. And God, we just thank You for the great opportunity it is to be in Your presence. And I just ask, Father, that You would continue using me in sharing Your word, and that You would fill us up, Lord. We thank You that Your Holy Spirit hasn't left, Lord, because we're done singing songs, but that You're still dwelling in this place. And we just thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 91, let me read it one more time. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. I will trust. Now, I don't know how you guys view trust, but trust isn't something that can automatically just be given. Trust is something that you only acquire when you put in the work, when you get to know somebody. And it's with the Lord, I ask myself this question, is how do I actually trust the Lord if I never talk to the Lord? How do I actually say I have full trust in Him? 'Cause there's plenty of people that I would say they know God, or they know about God, but does their life reflect an actual trust in God? Does their life reflect an actual, I'm putting my faith in God? And if it isn't, I would venture to say you probably don't spend much time with him, because if you spent any time with him, you would know that you could trust him. If you spent time with God, you would know that he is somebody that I can put my full faith in, not just blindly following. Now, sometimes that's what our faith has to look like. But actually, I know that I can trust you with my life. I know that I can trust you with my family. I know that I can trust you with this circumstance because I spend time with you. And when I spend time with you, you then deposit something inside of me that allows me to walk with you hand in hand, knowing that you're going to take care of me, that you're going to put my best interests in mind, that everything I do every step I take in faith in you, because I trust you, you're going to take care of me. But the only way I get there is talking with him, is hanging out with him, is creating this space. Matthew 6, 5 and 7 says, or 5 through 7, it says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, and they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they that they will be heard." Sorry, there's an extra word in my typing that threw me off. "Will be heard for their many words." The secret place with God is where we get developed for the public place. If we, this is why it's so vital that our prayer life, outside of everybody else, outside of being seen by public eyes, outside of anything else, is we are prayed up. If you want to get prepared for a circumstance, or you have something coming ahead of you, the best thing you can do is pray. The best thing you can do is get in your quiet place and pray. If you want to be ready in the public space is your family. If you want to cultivate a house of God in your home, pray for your home. Pray for your family. If you want your marriage to be a marriage that is following God and is everything, every step you guys take with one another, every decision you make is orchestrated by God, pray for your marriage. If you want your workplace to be a place that exudes the glory of God, pray for your workplace. And I've been in situations, I've been in workplaces where I look at those workplaces and I think, there's no way this place could ever glorify God. The people here are awful. The workplace is awful, and so forth. We must not forget that the same power that conquered the grave lives in us, dwells in us. That the light that we received when we received Jesus, we then get to take in every place that we go. And that includes our workplaces. That includes the most darkest places. Any place of our influence, we have to understand that the only way we're going to make it more holy is us getting quiet and praying. The secret place isn't a magical fix-all. Okay, well, I am stressed out, or this situation's coming up. Let me just go into this prayer closet for five minutes and come out, and everything is going to get better. It's not that. What it is it's the place where you're going to exercise a muscle that you're going to need later. I almost look at it as like that's the gym. Like that's where you're going to go work out so you can later on lift something. Our Jesus exemplified this in so many ways, and one of the greatest ways is right before he went to the cross, and you know, we know the story of Judas betraying him, and in Matthew 26 verse 36, this is him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know, I read this, and we're going to read it here in a second. And you see that Jesus is in turmoil over what's about to come. And for me, when I read this, because we know that Jesus is fully man and fully God. When I read this, I see the fully man part, because I see our Jesus that is in turmoil over what's to come, knowing that everything that my whole life has been built up to is right now coming to a head, and I know what's about to come, and we see Jesus give us the greatest example of what to do in turmoil. Now, none of us most likely will face this same outcome where we know that death is upon us. But let's just read it. It says, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't it amazing that even in a time of his own stress, of his own worry, of his own anxiety, of his own turmoil, that he was able to, hey, let me give you a little bit of wisdom. This is why we're doing what we're doing. Because if we can all pray together, we can have strength to go into what's about to come. Verse 42, again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And as we know, the story goes, they come and they take Jesus, and he gives his life for all of us. And again, Jesus needed to be in the secret place to gain clarity. And this is one of those things that we don't get fully, we don't get the dialogue between him and God. You know, if there was dialogue, we don't get that part. But I read this and I think, wow, he's going into this knowing, I know what the answer is. I know what we're supposed to be doing, what I'm supposed to be doing, but I still need to get quiet with my Father to gain clarity. In the secret place to gain clarity. What would happen to us believers? What would happen if when seeking answers, what would happen if when we were seeking answers, we went into the secret place and we talked to God? We would change the world, absolutely. If instead of us getting into immediate worry and anxiety and staying there, because I'm a big proponent, if you need to feel this for a moment, feel it, but also we can't stay there, and we can't stay in the stress, and we can't stay in the worry. We have to make sure that we're taking all of those burdens and we're laying them down at the feet of Jesus, and we're saying, these aren't mine, these are yours, and we're allowing this exchange to happen. But that type of exchange only happens when we create a secret place. When we make a purposeful decision that we're going to get quiet before the Lord, we're going to trust him fully with all of these things. What would our lives look like if we steward our prayer life over our complain life? You know, and as always, when we're preaching up here, we're preaching to ourselves, and I'll be first to say I am a complainer. And you know, I've told this story many a times, and because it continues to be a powerful testimony for me. You know, and in short, years ago when my family and I were on our faith journey, and we moved down to Redding, California, and I wasn't sure of what we were doing, and I was in in stress. I was, you know, it was level 10 stress. What are we doing? And I call Pastor Mike, and I'm seeking wisdom, and I'm seeking knowledge. You know, here I am, 26 years old. I have my family, my two kids, all of our stuff with us, and we have no plan. We have no solution. We're there just Jesus. Like, that's, but at that moment, I forgot that's why we were there, because I thought that Jesus meant that there was just this magical potion that happened and everything worked out. And I call Pastor Mike, and I'm processing this with him. And again, the most powerful words he could tell me, and even though I didn't necessarily understand it at the time, but the most powerful words he could tell me was, you need to grab your family and you guys need to go pray. And I wish I could say in that moment I felt this revelation, this overwhelming, yes, that is everything. Now I feel peace. No, I hung up that phone. We got off the phone, and I just kind of was like, okay, I guess. Like, I don't know. I guess that's what we'll do. But that was exactly what we should have been doing the whole time. Not to say we weren't praying, but we gathered our little family and we prayed, and then it was within hours that we saw God move. But we don't see those things happen. We don't see those things happen unless we're going to step into a place of intentionality, into the secret place with God. So some practicals for this is, the first one is, we need to find our secret place. We need to find, what is the secret place in our lives? Where is the secret place? Some people have literally created a space in their house. I've heard people, they have their closet, and they have a big enough closet where they're able to create a space where they literally, that's where they go, and that's amazing. And if we have space in your house, or you have space in your house to do that, that's awesome. For some people, it's their bedroom. You know, it's not, you know, it's for one section, it's like, this is where I sleep and whatever. But when they go into their room during this specific time, it then becomes their secret place. For some, it's, you know, maybe their workplace, their office, or for me, you know, I have a classroom where, in the mornings I have, at least this last year, I had time where I could, just pray if I wanted to. And I was able to take like 30 minutes and just, nobody is around, you know, it was just me in my classroom, and I could just put music on and just pray. One of my favorite places personally is my car. And the times that I've had, some of the most powerful times I've had, including Sunday mornings, including conferences, including camps, some of the most powerful worship times I've had have been in my car. And that has been something that God has been using in my life since I first got saved. I remember when I first started listening to worship music, I you know, wasn't super open to like worship outwardly when I would come into the church environment. But where I really started to do that was in my car. And I remember when I worked an early shift when I worked at this news station, and I'd have to be there like at 3 or 4 in the morning, and I would be listening to worship music on my way to work. And I would get so wrapped up in the worship that I would park my car and I would sit in my car for an additional 20 minutes, because I was just so in it. And so that became my secret place. And for the last however many years, it's still continued to be, you know, I'm driving to the store, I'm driving to work, I'm driving, you know, to pick up a kid or whatever, you know, putting on some worship and just creating that space where it's just me and God. The second practical thing is we need to build a routine. Build a routine of getting in the secret place. I read a book about creating habits, and one of the things that they said was, you need to make your habits, if you want to create a new habit, a healthy habit, is you need to make it really, really simple for yourself. Really, really simple. You have to take out any obstacle for you. And so if you want to build a routine in regards to connecting with God, and we have to make it really, really simple for ourselves. We have to make sure our Bible is there, maybe even open to do, you know, to read. We need to make sure that whatever the obstacle that we create, it needs to be taken out. Build a routine. The other one is the quantity of time spent isn't as important as the quality of time spent. There's been powerful times where I've had, or we've all probably had, where it's been a long drawn out time, and wow, that's great. We have I just spent so much time, and those are amazing. But we can't believe this lie that if we don't spend X amount of minutes or X amount of hours, then it is not beneficial for us. You know, in the season right now that my wife and I are in, we are spend a lot of our time like in passing. You know, so 4 days out of the week, I'm during the school year at least, I'm coming home and she's kind of on her way out. Or one of the things that we've started to do is we would meet up for coffee. We would just say, hey, we have like 30 minutes. Let's meet up and we're going to sit down and we're going to share a coffee or we're going to get some food. We can look at those moments and be like, well, it wasn't a full like 2 hours that we got to have like a date. You know, it wasn't a full, wasn't a full time that we got to be with each other. But again, it wasn't about the quantity. It was the quality of it. You know, we're taking that 20, 30 minutes and we're just in each other's presence. And the same goes with God. It's not about us taking hours and hours. Like if you have the time to do that, great. But I believe our God is so good and so big and so grand that he could do a lot with you in 10 minutes. He could do a lot with you in that time. It's about us taking that intentional time to do it. And the last practical thing is if we don't know what to say, start by thanking him. I think this is lost on us a lot of times, is that we can forget the simple act of thanking God. We can forget the simple act of just, God, I just thank you for this, the most simple things that I'm going to take for granted in my life. I'm thankful that I have a home. I'm thankful that I have a bed to sleep in. I became the most thankful when I began working at the mission, and I began working around people that had not just less than I had, but had literally nothing. You know, it wasn't just like, oh, they don't have, you know, I have a car and they have a less nicer car. I have a house and they have a smaller house. No, it was like, I have, you know, a car and they don't have shoes. You know, like I have a bed to sleep in and they don't even have a shirt. Like it's the comparison isn't even there. And you know, it really helped me see the very little simple things that I take for granted, that we most likely take for granted, in that, you know, that I have a roof over my head, that I have clothes on my back, that I have, you know, food in my cabinet. I have even just bread and peanut butter to, you know, I have the ability to get in my car whenever I want and go somewhere. And, you know, and so, you know, thanking him, if we don't know where to start, I don't know what to pray. And this is something I think we all struggle with, is sometimes getting quiet and not knowing what to say or what to pray. And we need to make sure that we need to trust, first off, we need to trust that God is going to guide us in that. And as we begin talking with him, he's not going to allow this time to be wasted if we don't allow it. You know, pastor says this, I've heard him say it a few times, thankfulness is a prerequisite for blessing. And I truly believe that if we want to see blessings in our life, thankfulness is a vital part of that. And so the secret place, you know, I think that if we as believers can get more intentional with this thing, can create this space in our lives, create this time where we're cultivating a quiet and intentional time to talk with God, I do believe we will see movement in our own lives, movement in our friends' lives, in our families' lives. Like these are the moments where, you know, we talk about people dealing with sickness and dealing with infirmities. Those things get worked out in the secret place if we're creating that time. If we are, you know, we should have the prayer meetings and we should gather the two or three, right? And but also We cannot wait for the prayer meeting to then bring something for the Lord. It can't just be like, oh, I'll wait. Or let me send it to the prayer chain before I... No, just let's just get really good at just praying. Let's just get really good at getting quiet before the Lord and submitting all these things to Him. Amen? Yeah. All right, let me pray for us. Jesus, we just thank you so much for your goodness, and we thank you for the time, Lord, that we have to gather. And God, I just pray that we would all get really, really good at spending time with you, at getting quiet with you. God, I pray, Lord, that there would be secret places that would be built in all of our hearts, Lord, and that we would find that space. We'd find that the space and that place, God, where we can meet you. Jesus, help us in this. Father, I thank you for this house and for what you're doing, God. And I pray, Lord, that this place as well would become or would continue to be a place where you dwell, a place where you reside, Lord, a place where we can meet you. And we just thank you, God, for your goodness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you're with us, God. And God, I just pray, Lord, for every family here, every family represented, that you would, Lord, bless their homes, you'd bless their families, you'd bless marriages, God. We just thank you, Jesus, that you are dwelling in this place. And God, we just release your goodness all over here, all over this place. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Everybody have a great Sunday, and we'll see you guys next week.